Trends in Historiography. Contents. Module 1. Meaning of Historiography. Meaning of Historiography. Quasi History. Past and History. Differentiation and Conceptualization. Nature and Character of Greek Historical Writings. Herodotus. Nature of Medieval Historical Writings. St. Augustine. Ibn Khaldun. Module 2. Vico and New Science. Vico and New Science. Positivism. Auguste Comte and Ranke. Marx and Historical Materialism. Toynbee and Study of Civilizations. Cultural History. Jacob Burckhardt. Module 3. Annales, Mark Bloch and Braudel. The Annales, Mark Bloch, Fernand Braudel. History of Mentalities, Philip Aries. History from Below, E.P. Thompson. Postmodernism, Keith Jenkins. Gender History, Gerda Lerner. Gender History, Gerda Lerner. Food History, Philip Fernandez Armesto. Environmental History, Alfred W. Crosby. Oral Tradition and Oral History, Jan Vansin Nevins.
Trends in Historiography. Module 1, page number 1, Meaning of Historiography. Historiography refers to the development of history as a discipline or to a body of historical work on a specialized topic. Full stop. In the early modern period, the term historiography tended to be used to mean simply the writing of history. Full stop. It should be noted that historiography is not the study of the events in the past directly, but the changing interpretation of those events in the work of individual historians. While history is considered as the study of past in its broadest sense, historiography tries to understand how the past has been studied by different historians and what prompted a particular historian to adopt a particular line of thought in the writing of a particular topic in history. Second paragraph. Historiography as an independent branch of history and a separate discipline emerged in the 19th century Europe. Full stop. It came into being a part of the epistemological resurgence of the 19th century European Enlightenment. Full stop. Since then many number of work have been produced on historiography all over the world. Full stop. This work traced the successive stage of development in historical writing from ancient to modern period. Full stop. These include the evolution of idea of the historians, changing technique in historical writing and transformation in the attitude towards the nature of history itself. Full stop. It is also the study of the theoretical approaches of historians and the historical context which had prompted him or them to conceive that particular theoretical approach. Paragraph 3. Historiography is a fascinating area of debate and argument about previous and current representation of the past. Page number 2, continuation. Understanding historiography is to do with understanding about how the past is represented. Full stop. It is necessary for the history teacher, to be on top of their professional strata to have a reasonable understanding of how individual topics that they are discussing with the students have been approached in the past and how they are explained in the present. Full stop. One should have a broader and deeper understanding of the relevant historiography, comma, otherwise advances in historiographical knowledge that has taken place over the past 2 or 3 decades may be all but ignored. Fourth paragraph. The never-ending development of historical interpretation is the familiar to historians and teachers of history. Full stop. Most commonly, this is revealed as a dialogue between the present and the past. Full stop. New generation often interpret evidence in the light of recent event and regularly re-evaluate the thinking of previous generation. Full stop. Historians also constantly discover new evidence, and often historiographical changes comes with an increased emphasis on this new information. Full stop. Historians often emphasize certain aspect of historical events because they study particular topics or figures, resulting in constant process of reinterpretation and considerably debate among historians. In a broader sense, comma, historiographical debates force students to confront the difficult questions of interpretation, comma, the existence of truth in history, and the different way historians used evidence. Full stop. Fact and evidences are critical to historical interpretation. Full stop. The conflicting emphasis on different form of evidence can change the meaning of events. Full stop. Students can understand that historiography is a guide for evaluating their own interpretation of historical events. Full stop. It help them to structure their own thinking and encourage them to consider different ways of viewing the same evidence. Some of the common topics in the historiography are: first one, reliability of sources used in term of authorship, comma, credibility of the author and the authenticity of corruption of the text. Number two, historiographical tradition or framework. Full stop. Every historian uses one or more historiographical traditions like Marxist, comma, annals, etc. Number three, moral issues, comma, guilt assignment and praise assignment. Number four, revisionism versus orthodox or conservative interpretations. Number five, historical metanarratives. Next para, understanding of the past is a universal human need, and the telling of history has emerged independently in civilization around the world. Full stop. The earliest chronologies date back to Mesopotamia and ancient Egypt, comma, though no historical writers in these early civilizations were known by name. Page number 3. Quasi history. Writing of history in the form of collection of fact and giving it a rational interpretation did not emerge all of a sudden in a specific time and space. Full stop. Instead, it was the culmination of the gradual process from folk literature through a variety of quasi-historical writings. Second para, the earliest chronicles prepared in the ancient civilization are not treated as history proper. Full stop. However, the importance of those chronicles could not be disregarded in the history of development of historical writing. Full stop. The quasi-historical forms like myth and theocratic history were prepared by the Mesopotamians and ancient Egyptians. Full stop. The entire characters of myth were gods and not concerned with ordinary human beings. Full stop. The events mentioned in the myths are said to have been occurred in the remote past, nonetheless a dateless past. Full stop. Theocratic history and writings are concerned with the activities of human beings, their actions were depicted as controlled by some sort of supernatural divine powers. Full stop. With a vague sense of chronology, theocratic writings generally deals with the activities of kings and their subordinates. Full stop. Kings in these writings are generally treated as the incarnations of God Almighty, or at least faithful assistants of God. Full stop. Page number 4, continuation. The elements of both theocratic writings and myth are generally seen in the inscriptions and records of the ancient Egyptians and Mesopotamians. Full stop. The ancient Hebrew script also contained a great deal of both theocratic history and myth. Full stop. While the Egyptians and Mesopotamians limited their writings to specific geographical areas, the Hebrew scripts treat the control of the divine power as universal. Full stop.
History, Module 1, page number 4, Past and History, Differentiation and Conceptualization. The desire to know about the past is the natural instinct of man. History is a form of knowledge that fulfills the desire of man to know the past. It becomes the collective memory of human society. Every society has its own history. The study of history comprehends all the human experiences in the past, which includes what men have said, thought, done or suffered. But this remains as a comprehension only as it is possible to study or record all the human experiences in the past in its totality. So, history becomes the selective record and study of the past human experiences. In other words, history deals only with the surviving past. It is not the study of the past, but the study of the present traces of the past. If no traces of any aspect of human experiences in the past is surviving, they remain as though they had never been. We encounter traces of human past everywhere in artifacts, relics, documents, buildings, landscape, institutions, or languages. In fact, it is obvious we have a connection to the historical past as ordinary persons prior to the independently of the investigative framework of professional historians. In one sense, past is everywhere. In another sense, past is also irretrievably gone. So, what we confront is never the past itself, but the representations of the past that also inevitably undergo changes over time. The most important aspect of history is the present evidence, not the fact of past existence. Page number 5. The past is over and done with. It cannot be retrieved. It can only be reconstructed or understood again. If any traces in any form are left over, historically the past is being looked up on from the viewpoint of contemporary society. However, this viewpoint of the contemporary society may not reflect the aspirations of the entire past, but of certain sections only. Hitherto, the dominant historical writings have been trying to satisfy the aspirations and interests of that section of the society which hold power. Thus, history becomes an ideological instrument in the hands of dominant sections of the society, which enjoy power. These powerful sections always use history as an instrument for the legitimization of their power. The historical interpretation of a particular society often differs from the historical interpretation of another society in space and time. A new interpretation arises when the existing interpretation may not satisfy the interests of the contemporary ruling class. These interpretations are conceptualized and it turns out to be the backbone of history itself. The historian enquires into the past and tries to reconstruct the past society. In the course of this reconstruction, he is decisively influenced by the needs of the contemporary society. So, he either imposes the reflection of the past on the present or the needs of the present upon the past. History is a specialized subject. To understand the nature and scope of this specialized subject, one must have an academic understanding of historical knowledge. The nature and scope of history have undergone great changes in the recent period. Earlier, it was believed that history is just a narration of the past events, but now it is established that the past should be studied critically in a scientific manner. The study of history as a properly developed discipline is quite young. Herodotus might have been the father of history, but the child he had procreated long ago remained stagnant without expected growth for several centuries. Some purposeful steps were initiated in the 17th century to develop history as an academic discipline. However, study of history as a properly developed discipline in a scientific, ordered and systematic way began only in the 19th century. History is the analysis and interpretation of human past, enabling us to study continuity and changes that are taking place over time. Page number 6. Historians use all forms of evidence to examine, interpret, revisit, and reinterpret the past. According to modern concept, history does not contain only the history of kings and queens, battles and generals, but the history of common man, his house and clothing, his field and cultivation, his continued efforts to protect his home and hearth and to obtain a just government, his aspirations, achievements, disappointments, defeats and failures. It is not only the individual, but the communities and the societies are the subject of study of history. History has assumed the role of a human science. Nature and character of Greek historical writings. The earliest non-systematic historical thought and historical writing emerged in ancient Greece, a development which turned out to be an important influence on the historical writings elsewhere around the Mediterranean region. In fact, Greek historians had greatly contributed to the development of historical methodology. The earliest non-critical historical works were the histories composed by Herodotus of Halicarnassus during the 5th century BCE, who later was appraised as the father of history by the ancient Roman philosopher Cicero. The word history is derived from Greek, generally meaning inquiry or investigation. Greek historians, the two greatest of them being Herodotus and Thucydides, believed and stated that history is a record of human experiences in the past, not a dateless past. They gave importance to why in historical writing along with what and how. They treated history as a subject strictly related to human activities and not under the control of any type of divine power. The beginning of Greek historical writing could be traced back to the narrative songs called ballets, often sung in the public or presented in the form of speech. Page number 7. These songs and speeches had reference to true historical events of the contemporary period of very recent past. They were generally called logographers, and they made history a delightful and fascinating subject with full of stories interwoven with historical events. Logography could be considered as the transition stage from quasi-history to history proper. It helped Herodotus to write the first historical work on Greco-Persian war that took place during his lifetime. The historical understanding of the Greeks experienced a radical change during the Hellenistic period along with the so-called world conquest of Alexander of Macedonia. The widening of their geographical knowledge helped them to write the history of the people who lived outside Greece. The world for the Greeks became a historical expression rather than a geographical expression. Polybius of 2nd century BCE, the greatest historian of the Hellenistic period, was able to include the history of the early rise of...
Page number 9. Nature of medieval historical writings. Page number 10. The spread of Christianity influenced the thought process of medieval Europe, which resulted in the making of a new historical consciousness and thus the historical writing. In general, their historical sense was oriented to their religious needs. The purpose of medieval European historical writing was not critical or national, but was to strengthen faith in divinity. As the medieval European historical works were prepared with a purposeful religious orientation, it is often characterized as Christian historiography. In fact, Christian historiography was the product of the Christian church, and so it is known as church historiography also. The medieval European historiography marked history as a part of the great cosmic plan in which man and God participated. Apart from the exploration of the past, it set a goal for future, which could not be substantiated by reason. Medieval European historiography made history universal, by which all events were brought into a single common chronological framework. The chronological framework thus prepared centered around the birth of Jesus, and so the various events were dated backward and forward to the birth of Jesus. The period before the birth of Jesus was treated as a period of darkness, and the period after it as a period of light. As the pattern of historical method was the same, there was no need to produce more historical works. The result was the number of historical works produced in medieval Europe was very few. Of course, with the exception of The City of God by St. Augustine. Historical writing in the Arab world seems to have started in the medieval period. To be precise, after the emergence of Islam and the establishment of the Arab Empire. During the initial stages, the historical narrations in West Asia were mainly centered around political and religious issues. The expansion of Arab Empire paved way for the meeting of various cultures, which helped for the growth of an advanced historical sense. The Arab word tariq means arrangement of materials according to correct chronology was used for the term history in the Arab world. Page number 11. The Arab historians developed a national approach to verify the veracity and authenticity of historical sources, for which they had developed a special technique called isnad. The Arab word isnad means the chain of authorities by which a narration could be checked back to the original eyewitness or the participants. It is a method of investigation into the character, circumstances, and background of the source material. The Arab historical writing could maintain a uniformity in their chronology with a base in 622 CE, the beginning of the Hijra year. They became well versed with the classical Greek historical writing, which enhanced their historical understanding. Several historians like Al-Waqidi, Al-Tabriq, Al-Mazudi, etc. contributed for the growth of Arab historical writing in the medieval period. But Arab historical writing in the medieval period reached at its height in the writings of Ibn Khaldun. St. Augustine. St. Augustine, CE 354 to 430, is generally considered as the greatest Christian historian of medieval Europe. He was a theologian, poet, philosopher, and a profound political thinker. His magnum opus, The City of God, in 22 volumes, though not a work of history in its proper sense, furnished an idea about the plans according to which history should be written. In this work, he argues that the world is ruled by two authorities, the God and the devil, which he terms the city of God and the city of devil or Satan. To him, the struggle between the two would ultimately end in the victory of the city of God. St. Augustine argues that whatever God has done is beautiful and perfect, while whatever man has done is just imitation and imperfect. In the political field, man is making experiments after experiments, only to find that no political institution has so far proved correct and satisfactory. Page number 12. Man has devised a state with several forms of government, but none of them proved to be perfect. Whereas God has devised the church, which is the city of God, and it is the perfect one. The kingdom of the church is the reflection of the kingdom of heaven. Nations have prospered when the ideals of the city of God were upheld, and ruined when the ideals of the city of God were either ignored or forgotten. St. Augustine states that the city of man is based on physical force, without which there will be no law and order, safety and security. The city of God, on the other hand, is based on divine love, which kindles a new light in the human heart. The city of God confers goodness, love, justice and kindness, while the city of man confers power, pride, blood and iron and enmity. The city of God and the city of man is intermingled, and it is the duty of the historian to indicate how the city of man could be transformed into the city of God. The ultimate purpose of the city of man should be to make man live in essential unity with God, and this can be achieved only through the implementation of the principles laid down by the church. St. Augustine further states that the city of God meets also the physical needs of the people. In political field, its aim is to establish a theocracy in which the law enforced is divine law through ecclesiastical agency, and finally the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. St. Augustine was successful in formulating the dominant political theory of the medieval period, which was the declaration that God ruled human affairs and that put God in history. Will Durin states that the work City of God put an end to paganism as a philosophy and paved way for the emergence of Christian philosophy. It was the first definitive formulation of the medieval mind. The city of God remained as the fundamental theological formulation and political philosophy of medieval Europe. The relation between the state and the church was also explained in this work. It literally controlled the medieval European historiography. It reinstated God in the history of mankind and thus turned upside down the humanistic approach of the Greco-Roman historiography. Page number 13. It declared that the destiny of man was decided earlier by God, and hence man was not to use his reason or intellect to formulate his own life and destiny. History was thus considered as a means for salvation, and so It was sacred and providential. Ibn Khaldun, 1332-1406, is generally considered as the greatest historian of medieval West Asia and often acclaimed as the most significant historian of the entire medieval world. His most outstanding work is the Universal History, written in 7 volumes and divided into 3 books. The first book discusses civilization in general and its impact on human beings and their characteristics. The second book deals with the expansion of the Arab Empire from Asia to Africa and Europe, and the third book details the history of the Berber dynasties of Africa. The introduction of this work, which forms a separate section named Mukadima or Prolegomena, happens to be the most important contribution of Khaldun, which discusses his theoretical views on history. A short autobiography of the author, Al-Tarif, also becomes a part of the work. Khaldun presents his philosophy of history and his subtle theoretical innovations in Mukadima. He states that history is a specific body of knowledge concerned with a whole range of social phenomena. For him, history is not simply a record of events, but a description of internal and external social relationship. There is a uniformity and continuity in historical development. He believed in the dynamic nature of historic growth and held that, like the individual organism, history undergoes constant changes. He argued for the cyclic theory in historical process, since decay of every empire is a natural process. Khaldun states that every society has a fixed span of life, and in this span of life, society goes through 2 stages, the rural and the urban. When the society transforms itself from rural to urban stage, its inner strength weakens. In the second stage, there will be an advancement in arts, crafts, science, standard of living, etc., but a decay in the inner strength. Page number 14. The urbanization leads to the monopoly of power and resources by a small group of people and the exclusion of the majority. This leads to severe oppression and the gradual decay of the urban society. Khaldun introduced the concept of science of history, which he equated with the science of culture. The science of history underlines that history is not merely the study of events, but of their interrelations also, their meanings and values. The environment will have decisive influence on the social life of the people and so on history also. He also lays emphasis on the psychological desires, which according to him determine social habits. He classifies all sciences into theoretical, practical and productive, comparable to humanities, sciences and technology. Humanities deal with the knowledge of truth. Science deals with practical actions, and technology is related with perfection of things. The science of culture is the mixture of these three branches of knowledge. According to him, there are four basic factors that contribute for the genesis of culture. They are material, formal, efficient, and final. The material factors cover the physical conditions necessary for the growth of a culture. Formal is the instrument, like the state through which culture actually takes shape. Efficient factor is the solidarity and harmony in the society for the growth of culture. Final is related with the idea of common goodness. In short, culture is the result of the play of political and economic factors. The ideal state offers safety and security and organized skill for the full utilization of economic resources. Khaldun states that there are three types of states. First one fosters goodness of this and the next world. The second exists only for the goodness of this world. And the third is to promote goodness of the rulers only. He envisages a political system in which the ruler establishes the rule of law. But the ruler must have a full knowledge of law and the capacity to enforce it, ability to interpret law, and a sound mind without mental or physical defects. A ruler is not a law-giving person, but a law-enforcing authority. He states that history of different people are different. Page number 15. Though he recognized the importance of religion in history, he refused to give an interpretation of history from the point of view of religion, as he did not believe in the divine presence in shaping history. Khaldun holds the view that historian should be well versed in his craft, with a spirit of critical enquiry, as most of the facts from the past may not be true. He treats annals and chronicles as nonsensical history. Historian should always be skeptical about his sources and not to accept them as they are. To him, history is information about human social organization, which itself is identical with world civilization. He believed that application of sociology into the study of history would be helpful to avoid falsification of social aspects. Man cannot live on his own, and so he is a part and parcel of the society, and there should be solidarity among the people in the society. This solidarity helps the state to exist longer and stronger. When population increases, the amount of labor also increases, which helps for surplus production. The rulers utilize this surplus not to meet the dire needs of the majority in the society, but for the luxury of the minority. Khaldun's Mukaddima was translated into European languages in the 19th century, and it turned out as a surprise to the European scholars to see that a scholar of the medieval Muslim world who had lived in a strict religious and theocratic atmosphere had produced such genuine theories in historical writing. His works were acclaimed all over the world by scholars and academicians, and still do. His importance lies in the unique feature of having been able to rationalize the subject of history and to reflect upon its methods and purposes, says H.E. Barnes. Toynbee has assessed Mukaddima as undoubtedly the greatest work of its kind and of its kind that has ever yet been created by any mind in any time or place.